Just don't blow our minds too much today. We want to leave with them intact, eh? Yeah. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for this man. I just thank you for his heart. He has a well-seasoned heart. We're full of wisdom, full of your love, and just full of your words of grace.
Thank you, Lord. Morning, church. How many people don't know me? There's some there who don't know me. Yeah. I just belong to this house, and normally I'm not dressed like this, but today the shirt was bought. My wife bought this shirt for me, so I thought I better dress up, and since I'm going to stand up in the front so you can all admire my shirt, admire my age, and the beauty with it. Yeah, just 50, there you go. 55, eh? I better take out my Bible. Normally it's the apps I use, so... But I better... Yeah, this hasn't been opened for a while. Have you opened your Bible for a while? No. I hear some no's, but mostly you all are good. I just... This Bible is very precious to me. This was what Sandy gave me when I was just not even a Christian or anything. So it's a present. So I have preserved this. I normally use like the three or four Bibles, I'm sure, on your bookshelf. You got three or four Bibles in your bookshelf. And I just want to read out what she wrote in the front of the book. It's falling apart. Better keep this page. Dear Deepak, it is from Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 22. Is a promise from the Lord for you to take hold of. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Of course, I didn't understand at that time what this all meant to me. But over the years, I won't read the rest of the letter. I can't do that. I have to go home. I've got some notes as well, so I better spread myself. And we got some time here. You all are not hungry. Thank you, and I've just got a simple word, but very powerful. I'm sure you would have read it again and again in the past. I just want to share about, we talked about unity, Blake, yep. And Zach, you played the drums for those love songs to Jesus you sung, or your team there, you know, what a marvelous worship that was. Wasn't it good? Did you enjoy it? Yeah, okay. Next week you're on again, buddy. Just want to read. This is like a letter form. So I will tell you, keep you in suspense about the title of the message. In 1986, now that's the year we got married, dear, so I'm not talking about that at all. Henry Nguyen, a Dutch theologian and writer, toured St. Petersburg in Russia, which was the former Leningrad. While there, he visited the famous Hermitage, where he saw, among other things, Rembrandt's painting of the prodigal son. We all know what the prodigal son is. The painting was in a hallway and received the natural light of a nearby window. Nguyen stood there for 2 hours, mesmerized by this remarkable painting. As he stood there, the sun changed, and at every change of the light's angle, he saw a different aspect of the painting revealed. He would later write, "There were as many paintings in that prodigal son as there were changes in the day." So I thought this was quite interesting. Sometimes it is difficult for us, and My message is titled The Other Prodigal Son. So, the prodigal, you all know, you have heard the prodigal son's messages right through. So, something in that parable of the prodigal son, the story goes from Luke chapter 15. Actually, the whole chapter is about parables. And Jesus spoke in parables right through. And this is pretty simple. And I thought, okay, well, I don't want to get into very heavy theology and stuff like that. But what did we miss, or what did I miss in all my time there? When we hear the opening words of the parable once again, and there was a father, verse 11. It says in verse 11, there was a father. He had two sons. What? Two sons. Not four, two sons. Sorry, Zach, I got to look at you. You encourage me, brother. You know, you do. You know, I better read it from proper Bible, or I can read from it. And what did, and we greet the words like saying, oh my goodness, are we going to talk about parable son again? Oh, we've heard it many times. You know, when Henry Nguyen saw a half dozen different facets to that painting about the prodigal son, and if you re-examine this familiar story by looking at the other prodigal son. So this morning I want to speak about the elder brother, not about the prodigal son who came home. I haven't heard a message about the other son, the elder brother, but I have heard a lot of messages about the prodigal son who came home. And he was really a great guy, the son. He told his father, give me my inheritance. I want to go and make merry, and I want to go to some other land. So he went off his way. Father gave him his money and his part of the share. He wasted all that money, and in the end, he had nothing. And he was just probably just feeding the swines, you know. And he was just feeding, which is the lowest job a Pharisee could take. And he said, what am I doing? I better go home and ask forgiveness. My father is such a rich man. And he was in distant land. And so he went home. But at this point, Jesus shifts the story to the elder son. They're talking about the older brother. It begins with, there was a man who had two stones. It is interesting that Jesus launches into a wonderfully redemptive story about the younger son who lost his way and came to himself, got saved. The father wanted to have a big party and, you know, cut the goat and make a good curry out of it, whatever. And, you know, they wanted to have a feast. But let us take a look at the elder brother. He worked very hard in the field. He was sweating. He came from the field. And he says, what is this noise going on? He caught one of the servants and asked him, hey, what's going on out there? Where is this party going on? He said, didn't you hear? Your younger brother who was lost has been found now. And your father is having a big party. He says, what? We thought he was dead. So he was very angry. He was bitter. He was really saddened that my inheritance, which I am the only heir after my father goes, now this younger son has come and the father is giving him everything, you know, having a big party. He never even cut a chicken for me to have a party. Forget about a goat or a calf or whatever. So he said, well, he went there and he was red in the face to the father. And he says, Father, what are you doing? You never had a party for me. You know, he says, son, the father pleaded to him, look, your name is under the checkbook anyways because you are the heir for the whole property or whatever. I like that story of the lost sheep, because if you read chapter 15, it has got parable of the coin, the sheep, and the prodigal son. So that's the whole chapter is in parable. And it's interesting. And what is Jesus saying to us? What is Jesus speaking about here? And as much as we like the sheep story, the lost coin, and certainly there's no more beautiful story than that of the prodigal son. The heart of the story is in the last part, the elder brother. He's the background. One day Jesus, as often is the case, was sitting with all the riffraffs on the street and, you know, chatting away with them and cracking jokes with them, whatever. And, you know, we just leave the story of the prodigal son. He's come and had a fight with his father. But now he talks about, let's look at what Jesus was doing. And all the Pharisees and all the, you know, church people and all the good people and all, they said, why do you always associate with these sinful people? He's telling Jesus. But Jesus replied to them with three stories. Three stories. There was a lost coin, there was a lost sheep, there was a lost boy. Those are the three parables, is all in 15. Now, these good religious people could understand who Jesus was talking about when he told these stories. Obviously, he was talking about all those sinful people whom he was sitting with and playing with those riffraffs. So they could understand all that, all the parables, what Jesus was saying. But the sad fact is, like the elder brother, they didn't quite understand that they too were prodigal sons in need of redemptive love. We spoke a lot about love this morning, Jesus' love, redemptive power, and they didn't really understand that the Father loved them. Although they knew everything else, they could understand the parables, what Jesus was. Now, the older brother has gone down in history as the villain of the story. Is that right? Yeah. He's the villain of the story. He presents a mean picture, saying, why are you, you know, not giving it to me? And he was jealous, and he was angry, he was bitter. He, like we would say, he had a lot of bad press. We are impressed by the fact that he had certain bitterness of spirit. Now, this is interesting. Self-righteousness about him as well. Because, after all, this elder brother was a Pharisee too. Wasn't he? He was going to church. He worked hard. He was an honest man. So what was wrong? But he didn't have the redemptive power of Jesus. He didn't have the love of Jesus. Well, he was a very wealthy man as well. The sole heir now to the estate, but he was a man who loved his work so much that he was willing to put in even overtime. Just use lots of, you know, present day language so that we can understand my letter. You see, most of the important causes, even let's say New Plymouth, for example, cannot be done without our elder brothers. Is that right? It could be school PTA, it could be chairman of whatever, or it could be, you know, just in the church and outside the church, we could belong to a lot of things. They're good people. They work hard, you know, and we can't do without them. But Have they had the love of Jesus? In the society, will not be carried on if it were not for the elder brothers. I don't think this elder brother was a mean man. Was he a mean person? No. At heart, he was portrayed as. In fact, I don't doubt for a moment that he was a sincere Jew, like I said before. He just didn't see why the father would want to, you know, have a party for the worthless prodigal son who came home. He couldn't see that. And he was angry about it. He didn't understand that kind of love. How he refers to his own brother, he turns on his father. When this son of yours, who has squandered your property with whatever prostitutes and wasted the money, eating, drinking, apparently the family had somehow received word. That's how it comes out, that, you know, he was squandering his money in ill-reputed places. You almost wonder if there isn't a tinge of jealousy in the older brother. Maybe deep down inside things, and he wanted to do those things, and he's covering up his desires, is he? These are questions for us to ponder on. With morality, we don't know. To be sure, the elder brother's heart has become very distressed. Just shows that he's pained, and we might even say at this moment, hardened. But perhaps in the end, a lot good can be said of the older brother, which we have said. He's sincere, took back upon lurid past. Can we say when we look at the past, you know, that we didn't do everything right? Can we really? We came always, and that's why I read from this Bible, which now is my wife, last 1986, calculate, okay? So, you know, because some are quite, you know, memorials or stones in our life. But we all came from a past where we may have had, you know, quite lurid past. I don't know. Maybe, Zach, you were a good boy. But I wasn't. But I did try my best. We are a bit like the elder brothers. He's honest, he's sincere. So it seems realize how much the Father loves us too. You know, behavior for which we need forgiveness. We are also like him in three ways. Many of us don't see. First of all, how unforgiving we are. Second, we don't see this behavior as prodigal behavior, for which we need forgiveness. And third, we don't seem to realize how much the Father loves us too. I'm talking about the elder brother. Our lives lack a certain excitement. We don't have the spirit of celebration about us that the Father had. So when he's speaking about the Father, he's speaking actually about Jesus, if you know what I'm trying to say. We don't rejoice over redemption. We do. When somebody gets saved, we rejoice. The heavens rejoice. But do we really rejoice? Do we see or come in the church and, like me, come and some Sundays, you know, I'll sit there, oh man, I could do better than that singer there, or I could preach better, or I could do this. We have a tinge of the heart because we live in this world, or we might walk out like average in a day. You know, I try to murder about 6-7 people in my mind. Sorry about that. But, you know, because they annoyed me or whatever. I don't action it. Don't worry. I'm not that guy. But we must also cultivate in our hearts the knowledge that God loves us as much as he loved the younger brother. See, God just loved that younger fellow, didn't he? He was just from where, from the pit, you know, he was put as a prince there almost, you know. We read the story, there is so much illustration about how well he took out his cloak and put it on him, dressed him up and had a big party and all that sort of things. But end of the day, what about the elder brother? What about him? It is time the older brother hears about it now, you know. In times past, in the history, it says, there have been a lot of elder brothers. There was Teresa, who lived in long time ago. She never left the father's home. She went into a convent at an early age and developed a life of self-discipline that would fill anyone with awe. You agree? If you have read the story. She spent many hours a day in prayer. One day, when she was in her probably mid-40s, that's what the story goes, she was entering the chapel to pray, as she did every day. And as she entered, she noticed a picture which had been on the wall for years. She never noticed it. It was a picture of Jesus being scourged for her. And those who have studied her life say that this was the great turning point for her. She had stayed at home in the Father's house. She had done the right things, but she needed to know that Christ, who was whipped for Teresa, and there was joy in heaven. Not over a soul returning from wild living, but for a soul returning from the fields, just like the elder brother, after a hard day's work. You know, we have all probably heard, if you're old enough like me, John Wesley. He started the United Methodist. He was so earnest, so methodical about his devotional life that people called him a Methodist. And that's where the movement started. And the name just stuck. But it was not until he was 35 years old, when he was Aldersgate, a place in the United States or wherever, that Wesley experienced God in such a way that he was able to write, "I suddenly felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt that Christ had died for my sins. Even mine, and had saved me from the law of sin and death." Wesley had never gone to the far country, means like away, like the younger son of the prodigal son. But Wesley needed to know how much God loved him too. He needed to feel some excitement about his religion. And the Methodist movement started really spirit-filled from there on, big time. Jesus was invited to the home of the remarkable man. Now, we have heard about Simon in the Bible, I mean. Not your Simon, Peter. Simon invited Jesus to his house. And he was quite a rare Pharisee, Simon. He was very clean, very good man. And he made the best dishes for him and said, "Jesus, please come to my house." He was a remarkable man. He was loyal Pharisee. He was, whom I shall compare him with, would be the elder son. He was like the elder son. And they were sitting and eating, and suddenly there was an old lady or mid-aged lady came in and looking for Jesus. Even though he was bothered, Simon was bothered. "Why are you disturbing Jesus, you know? You go away, woman." Jesus says, "No." Then Jesus told him a story to Simon. "Simon, there was a man who had two debtors, or two people owed him money. One owed him $50 and the other owed him $500. Neither could pay, so the man canceled their debts, told them, okay, that's all right. Now, which one will love him the most? Of course, Simon is quick off the block thinking, well, he's a bit like me. He speaks before he thinks. That's good. And Simon is, well, why? Of course, the man who was forgiven the $500 debt, because he had a bigger debt. Simon gave the right answer to Jesus' question. But I wonder if Simon understood the underlying meaning. The one who owed $500, obviously the woman, but the person who owed the $50 was Simon. Like just comparing. Because Jesus forgave the woman a bigger debt does not mean that he loved her more. He loved you, Zoe. He loved you, Zena. He loved everyone equally. I mean equally. Sometimes we fall short and say, oh, Jesus loves them a bit more because they got, you know, more blessings from God. Al, he loves you the same as he loves me, buddy, if you don't mind. Is that okay? Good. That's an important issue because he forgave them all that they owed. We think that in the end, some people will owe more than others. Or in comparison to our sins, you know. It doesn't make a difference whether you owe $50, $500. You can't pay it. It does not make any difference whether you are an inch outside God's kingdom or you're 1 mile outside God's kingdom. It doesn't make any difference. You'll be treated the same in the kingdom of God. So the elder brother is just as much a prodigal in his behavior as much as the younger brother. If the elder brother had realized that bitterness must be left outside the party and forgiveness must enter in, if Simon had rejoiced at this woman's repentance and forgiveness, it would have made all the difference. Now, you know, church life is pretty much we all sort of like carrying on some prodigals in us. I include myself first. You know, maybe it is bitterness, maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's whatever. But we have never left the Father's home, have we? Father's home, like we have never left the church. We are still here. But we still have all this little bit of baggage. Maybe mine is a bit more than the others. But Jesus forgives me anyways every day. How much the Father loves them too. They earnestly do what earnest people ought to do, but their souls are not on fire. So, the crunch point is, or as Brother Tony says, the punch point is, always when he preaches here, my punch point is this, that how many of us are on fire? How many of us are really preparing a party? How many of us are really excited? Are we excited for Jesus? Are we actually, you know, saying every Sunday I'm really excited? I do. But come Tuesday, I'm back to zero. Back on Sunday, I'm back to hero. So we like hero to zero, you know? And I just can talk about my story because I don't go to your house, so I don't know. If you invite me, I will come, I can tell you. We got to have a few laughs, folks. You know, we've been here in this church a long time, but really the excitement of a party. Are we having a party for Jesus? See, we'll finish church today, like every Sunday we do. And we look at the clock. Oh, I don't know. Blake, I've got 2-3 minutes more. Oh, buddy, I'll take out the other message too. Yeah, we sort of, you know, we have church and then we just disperse. I do talk about with Al, did you go fishing? Oh, what's the weather like? But do we actually talk about Jesus? Do we after church? I'm guilty. There's a lot of elder brother in me. Not by age, but just the character, the nature of God, the righteousness of God, whatever you want to call it. And this whole thing about elder brother is something like, you know, in the world nowadays goes on. Oh, big brother's watching. Oh, big brother's looking at you. Or whatever, you know. It's always about big brother. But look at, there's so much distractions going on in this world. Times like this, you know. Do we want to come back home? Home is not a structure. Home is here in your heart, I'm talking about. Home to Jesus. You want to come back to Jesus? I don't mean that, you know, we have a big line of repentance going on. What I mean is in your heart, you know, the issues of the heart, really. And this is what struck me the most. And there are so many elders, just like the elder brother who never went out to the city or anywhere, you know, like that. We have in our churches also. Many of them never gone out and they've stayed at home. Doesn't mean a physical, this is not a physical transaction. This is more as a heart issue. So, have you all heard messages of the elder brother? Yes, you have. Zoe has. Who else has heard? She has heard. Sue has heard. So very few have heard about the spoken about elder brother. I haven't. I haven't seriously myself till they spoke to me. And then I started writing this letter to Jesus, actually. But it is for you too. So that's why when Jesus is speaking out of parables, he speaks parables so we can understand how it relates to us. I mean, all the scriptures are in Luke chapter 15. The whole chapter is about parables. And it's pretty well laid out, you know. It's just how we interpret and how we see ourselves, really. Where do we fit in? So this morning, how many elder brothers we have? None, eh? Very few. Oh, God bless you, man. You're all good. When I say brothers, it means both. Sisters and brothers. So girls, don't look at me vacant, you know. Because, you know, I'm not trying to put you in a spot. I'm just going to be the first one. But these are the things to ponder about. In your heart, when you're in your quiet time, in your secret place. You know, sometime back, I don't know who brought out. Jenna, did you bring out, like, about going to the secret place? You talked about sometime back whose secret place is what. But, you know, I wasn't the wild card on that one, was I? No, I wasn't. But, you know, I just remember just thinking about secret place. Because that's where issues of the heart come out. Really? You know, you start thinking and meditating. And I was thinking to myself, what is it? You know, in India, it's very hot during the day with the sun and all that. And you try to look for the closest tree so you could get some shade. And that's how it was in Israel. And your secret place is that shaded place, because you're shaded from Jesus, and Jesus can meet you there. And I thought that was a good illustration. You know, where is my secret place, you know? When it's raining, I like to run under some covering. You don't want to get wet. So, you know, whether you go to your secret place, but I just want to remember and reinforce about the elder brother. What is the elder brother in me? And I want to see that, you know, somehow this elder brother thing, whole issue, I don't want to labor over the elder brother. It's only a name, elder brother. But it's a good illustration, because the parable works through this, but focuses more on the younger son, not the elder son. Is that all right? Amen? Thanks, Blake.
Cool. Don't disappear. I just feel like I have an I told you so moment. I told you when he speaks, you listen. Because my goodness gracious me, there was nugget after nugget in there. And I can prove it because I've written them all down. But I just want to really, just want to say that you said, Deepak, that really stood out to me was you highlighted the Pharisees and the elder brother, how they all saw and heard multiple messages, whether it was from their father or from Jesus, but they missed the point. They missed that, the story. They had their, like, general knowledge about it, but they kind of missed the point that the story wasn't just for who they were speaking to, but the message was for them also. The whole thing of the Pharisees were also prodigal sons. They heard three stories about prodigals, but they missed the point that they had an invitation to meet Jesus too. And it just got me thinking, like, what's right in front of us that we're overlooking? And there's a solution right in our, right in front of our face, but we're overlooking it because we're so complacent. And, like, I guess taking for granted that everyday thing that could be happening, that could be our solution. So my challenge to you is that right back at the start, I asked you about what's stopping you from going all in. And God has that solution. Well, I'm telling you now, it's right in front of you. You just need to ask, and he'll reveal it. So what we're going to do, just to finish, is I'm going to get Deepak to pray for us, because that was just awesome. And then after that, Richard will come up and explain how the whole food majiggle is working. And we can stuff our bellies.
Thanks, Blake. Thanks, church. Let's bow our heads and lift our souls up to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your anointing in this room, Lord. Thank you for these people, even to listen to me. Father, I'm just a servant of God, Jesus, your servant. Father, even whatever is there, what is stopping us, just small bits and pieces, that they would give, bring it to you, Lord. In their secret place, they'll bring it to you. I don't want to see any hands, or I don't want to see anything, anybody sort of saying I want to confess or anything. Yeah, that'll be great. If you want me to pray for you, yeah, no problem. But reality is, you know, I know what is the elder brother in me, and what it is for you, where you're holding things back from Jesus. You do it in your secret place. Thank you, Jesus. As they go from here, that you look after them, Lord, and touch their hearts, that they would know your heartbeat, Lord. In Jesus' name.